Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 194. G'day, Tom.
G'day. Oh, how you going?
I was waiting. Did you see me? I wasn't breathing. I was like, what language is he going to do?
No, today's just about Australian.
Love it.
Yep. Apparently at home, I turned very Aussie this week. I've stopped using my vanillarized Australian accent, and I'm referring to things. Oh, look out, it's the bloody go-getters. Things, yeah. So I don't know what's going on, but things have gone very Aussie.
Just embrace it, mate. Embrace it. We've got exciting news. Not only will we have the live Facebook quiz this Friday, like we always do for lunchtime, so that's 12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time, but the week after, we look at the actual date, actually.
So there's a pretty good chance when you're listening to this, unless you've listened to it on the day of download or something like that, that what we're going to talk about now is actually the coming Friday. But instead of doing it lunchtime, we're going to do Watchers Live Late Edition.
That's right. It's after dark. So on the 27th of August, we will kick off at 6 p.m. on Facebook, on the We Are The Watchers podcast Facebook page. So
I think I might get a bit dressed up.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, because we never get dressed up these days. No, so
we used to get dressed up to take the bin out, and everyone's even over that. So why don't we get dressed up a little bit and have a few drinks?
This is going to be so fancy and fun. Oh, can you imagine how loose some of the answers are going to be in the comments?
They're going to be pretty loose. I think, though, and I hate to say it, but if you're going to be in the studio, you should probably be our designated quiz master, correct?
Oh, yeah, nothing but water. That's, oh, yeah. Oh, we didn't think about that whilst we were planning it. Well, maybe
Did. when you get home, you can watch the stream again and have a drink then.
I'll rewatch it. I love the way you think. I got really mixed up with what question we were up to last week. I'm going to have to work on that.
You did get a bit befuddled.
Yeah, I don't even know why. Maybe I was just too excited about trying to make sure that everything was correct, because there were a few listener questions in there and I didn't want to like muck them up, you know, which were really good ones. People sort of commented afterwards saying, oh, yeah, I really liked the questions. And I was like, does that mean you don't like the questions that we come up with? Rude.
Very rude. Hey, speaking of not rude, we've got a special guest coming up later in the show today. We're not going to spoil who it is, but stay tuned.
Yes, it's going to be a good one. Yeah, I was going to give a clue, but I don't think I want to. I've watched a few things, some comfort watching, and also watched a good doco.
Oh, very nice. I've watched a couple of things, but truth be told, you and I were still on the call after we recorded last week when I got a call from EB Games letting me know my PS5 had arrived, and that's what I've spent a good deal of my time doing.
Well, I might have to ask you during the watching suggestions what you've been playing.
Sounds good.
Fantastic.
It does mean that I've seen no trailers this week. There may have been trailers, but I didn't make note of them. Oops. But I've got some cool news and some like, news.
Some, oh, yeah, okay, news. I think I've got a bit of mixture of that as well. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The annual Round Around the Garden Like Something or Other Walkathon is coming up next month, and organisers are surprised that there aren't as many entrants this year. Just quietly, we think we know why. The route has been changed from a leisurely flat wander around the lake to an alpine climb up Watchers Mountain. This will require all participants to carry climbing ropes and equipment up to the summit and back down again. Mrs. Harpernot, Watchersville South Primary School's Year 4 teacher, said that they had been considering enrolling the whole grade into the walkathon, but now are reconsidering their options. Those options being doing it or not. She said that the paperwork involved in making sure the school isn't liable when a handful of kids tumble off the mountain is mountainous itself. The mayor is meeting with the organisers tomorrow to try to convince them to use the lake path again this year. Fingers crossed. A pop-up concert has popped up outside the mall. 90s superstars Merrill Bainbridge and Meredith Brooks have set up a couple of speakers, microphones, and a tasteful yet faded rug, and will be performing all their classics. So you'd better get down there quick before they finish their two songs. Local Monopoly players are planning on a meetup this Saturday night. They will bring along their own copies of the game and play solo so that they don't have a repeat of the all-in brawl that made it onto the public freakout subreddit last year. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Why don't you kick it off with, like, a cool news story? Let's start with the bang and then fizzle out.
All right, one that I thought was pretty darn cool. At the moment, there's a relatively new comic book series called Batman 89, mm-hmm. and is continuing the story of the Michael Keaton Batman films. And people are drawn as they appeared in the films. So Billy Dee Williams is Harvey Dent, and this sort of stuff. Anyway, Danny DeVito is going to be writing a Penguin short story for an upcoming arc. That's pretty cool.
Does that mean, so you said he for an arc, so he's writing not just one comic?
I don't think he's writing like a full issue thing. I think it might be a short story that's spread across two or three issues.
Fun.
Or something like that. It's like 4 to 8 pages in the back of each or something like that. I'm not too sure of all the nitty-gritties. It's just, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, the dude's got some chops. He's written a bunch of stuff. He directed Matilda. You know, he's directed some really cool stuff. So I imagine he's going to have a pretty cool take on what will be happening. I'm sure that it's going to be a lot of meh.
That's a good get, because it's not only piqued your interest, but it's now made me aware of it, and now I'm interested.
Look, they get celebs dip their toe in and want to write comics from time to time. And sometimes they're really niche. So the singer from Say Anything, an emo band from the mid-2000s, he writes comics now, and his stuff's pretty good.
Hmm.
Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas has been writing almost exclusively like indigenous Native American characters for Marvel. It's very cool. But I don't know if I can think of one where it's been someone as high profile as Danny DeVito.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's a massive get, especially with him having been the Penguin. Like, that's incredible.
And, like, he's up there with, you know, I'm sure people have different things, but when I think of the Joker, you visualize Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
I
think of the Penguin, the visual I get in my head is Danny DeVito. It's not the cartoon version or comic version. It is Danny DeVito in a balloon suit.
I reckon you can't be alone with that. I reckon so many people are, that's the real Penguin.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Speaking of cool, don't know much about this, but Scarlett Johansson has joined a heap of famous actors in Wes Anderson's film it's actually being filmed right now in Spain. So Adrian Brody, Bill Murray, Jason Schwartzman, Tilda Swinton, Margot Robbie, Tom Hanks.
Margot Robbie was the first name on that list that didn't make me go, yeah. And
I know, right? Yeah. They are all.
It's Wes Anderson. They're all there.
They're all there. I have no idea what the movie's about. I was trying to look for a plot, and a couple of articles I read are like, it's all a secret.
He's always cagey.
I think she's been in a movie of his before.
Something that surprises people that don't know me,
yeah.
but surprises no one who knows me,
what?
Is that I don't really care for Wes Anderson movies.
I'm so not surprised.
I quite enjoyed the Darjeeling Limited back in the day, but I was reviewing that one and I got to speak to Jason Schwartzman about it. And he was a lovely guy. I could have put him in my pocket. He was tiny.
I mean, he looks tiny, but...
I towered over him. He was quite a tiny chap. But I don't. It's too whimsical for me.
Mm.
It's too much. It looks beautiful, but it's just not. Yeah,
I don't mind them. I'm not sort of a massive fan, but the Wes Anderson movies that I have seen with Jason Schwartzman in it, I've always come away going. Yeah, I'm glad I watched that. That was an enjoyable couple of hours of my life, and then I've moved on. But it's interesting to see that
he kind of, like, the fact that it's his film kind of gives a different context as to Scarlett really has moved away from Marvel, at least for her next couple of projects, which is cool. You know, it's good to have a mixed bag of things in your IMDb.
For sure. Oh, look, someone who's not moving away from, we'll say Disney, not Marvel, but Emma Stone has signed on for Cruella 2.
Now, I saw the headline for this, and this intrigued me because I thought that there was talk about her not being happy about the fact that it was, like, went on to Disney Plus.
Speculation.
Right.
It was speculation that she would sue, and it sounds more like Disney might have just backed up a money truck and made sure that the problem's gone away.
Just went away. She did look like she was having a lot of fun in that film.
Hmm.
So that, I mean, the fact that she can be that kind of character and have a lot of money thrown at her for being that character again was probably quite alluring. So
I imagine. So it's pretty nice to have your own franchise.
And it's interesting. I wonder what people will say in 10, 15 years' time when they think about Cruella de Vil, whether they think about Emma Stone or Glenn Close. Because I think was she in one or two movies, 101 Dalmatians? Was there a sequel that she was in? I feel like
there was. There was a sequel. I'm sure she would have been in it.
Yeah, that's a cool story. I've got a cool story about Fred Savage. We like Fred. He always seems like a really nice guy. And as we know, he's an executive producer on The Wonder Years, the new version that's coming out. Mm. I think it's late September, which is about an African-American family in the late 60s, 1960s, I should say, in Alabama. Because they're kind of trying to drum up a bit of publicity and stuff, they were talking to him about the original and his time in the original. Like, that show was nominated for like 28 Emmys, and one of them was Outstanding Lead in a Comedy Series. Fred was nominated for. At the age of 13, he was the youngest male actor ever to be nominated for this award. And apparently that record still stands. And here's a bit of fun trivia. This is not a fun fact. It's just a bit of fun trivia. So the way he learnt about his Emmy nomination, this is how you know he was 13 years old, was during a sleepover at one of his friend's house, where his friend's mother wrote a note and left it on the dishwasher that said, "Good morning, guys. There's breakfast in the fridge. And congratulations, Fred. You were nominated for an Emmy." I love that. I'm keen to check out the new version of The Wonder Years, because I have fond memories of watching the original.
I'll give it a crack. I quite like Dulé Hill, who's playing the father.
Don Cheadle is the narrator in this one, which is, I mean, you can never be angry when he's cast in something.
No.
Yeah. What else have you got?
Speaking of someone who you can never be angry when they're cast in something.
Oh, what a good segue.
Thank you. And this is not the angle I thought things would go, but I'm down with this. So Sonic 2 has cast the voice of Knuckles, and it's going to be Idris Elba.
Okay. I mean, I'm not angry. Yeah. I'm now interested and intrigued, because that really, because Knuckles for me, I mean, obviously he never spoke in the game. So, well, the original game. So now I'm wondering how on earth, he's got to be a bit not like, he's not going to put up with nonsense then.
No. So Knuckles is very no nonsense.
Yeah.
He's an echidna. So I thought he'd be Aussie, so maybe he'll be interested to do a bit of an Aussie accent. I don't know. But I think, as you'd hope, it means that he and Sonic will clash before they work together. Classic hero situation when you're building up. Look at that first Avengers movie. You've got to have the scene with Iron Man, Cap, and Thor fight before they work out their differences.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's going to be a bit of that. And, yes, I think the best way to term how Idris will play Knuckles, the echidna, is prickly.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does after that, because he's been doing a whole heap of different stuff lately. He's not just Luther now. He's so much more. And
he's been DJing and kicking in Ibiza as always. And
Did you watch that show where he played like a DJ? Like, it was obviously, it was an English show.
I didn't watch it, but apparently it was very close to the line of...
very close to being Idris's life.
Yeah.
I watched a few episodes. It wasn't too bad. I like him.
Me too.
I have to watch that Suicide Squad because he's... Is he in the original? I haven't seen either of them.
No.
Okay.
No. So the original has Will Smith and his star power completely overshadows what is supposed to be an ensemble film, whereas Idris really adds. He's the leader of the team against his will.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But speaking of Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to give anything away because you haven't seen, but James Gunn is still talking about plenty of stuff, but the thing that was pretty cool to hear was his original pass of the script. His first plan was to have Superman as the villain.
Okay.
And they were going to have to take down Superman.
That definitely sounds interesting.
It's very interesting, but I'm glad they didn't go that direction because that's actually the plot of the upcoming Rocksteady Suicide Squad game, which is a four-player of Harley Quinn, Captain Boomerang, Deadshot, who was Will Smith, and King Shark.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sent out by Amanda Waller on a mission, and the trailer reveals, you know, they're all set to take down their target, and then Superman floats down, and they're like, oh, it's Superman, he's here to help us. And the clouds shift a little bit, and he tears a person apart and, you know, reduces them to ash with his glowing eyes, and they realize that he's infected with something, and he's the target, and that's the end of the trailer.
Cool.
So those two pieces together, when you know it, like, okay, that's probably why there was a suggestion made, don't use Superman. But there was also some talk of Superman potentially had a small cameo at the end of the film, could have had, when they are fighting a certain bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a suggestion that perhaps a red and blue blur could appear for 2 seconds and then not stop, mm-hmm. but continue on and just show how different the power level is.
This is beneath me.
Just fly through and smash something and then continue.
It almost sounds a bit like The Boys. It was in the trailer for the first ever season of The Boys. Well, the first ever. I mean, the first. I remember watching that and the hands are just still there. Yeah. I'm interested in checking out more of that game. If there are four of them, does that mean it's co-op? Does that mean you play with your mates?
I believe it's co-op. I'm hoping you can also play single player and switch between and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, I think it's going to be proper co-op, and they all have very different skill sets.
Mm.
So, you know, King Shark is your brute. Deadshot is your sniper. Mm-hmm. Harley Quinn is the melee expert. And Captain Boomerang, they've given speed powers as well because he's traditionally a Flash bad guy.
Yep.
So he can almost like teleport or move quickly and stuff and throw his boomerangs and
so he might almost be like a quickly move over here to help heal that player. He could.
I think Hal's gonna be the bloody wild card. The person doing the voice, I haven't picked who it is in the trailer yet, but they are doing the most like Brian Brown impress. It's fantastic. Like it's a real dirty Aussie accent.
Yeah.
It's good.
I was watching Twitch yesterday whilst I was having lunch, and I was watching the actor Sam
Witwick,
Mr. Darth Maul himself.
Who was, it's not Sam Witwicky, he's the guy from, that's Shia LaBeouf in Transformers.
No, Sam Witwer.
He was also in the, he was in the American version of Being Human.
Yes, he was. And I was watching him play the PC version of Days Gone, and he's the main character in Days Gone. And he was talking about being like a voiceover actor versus an actor. And he's talking about that show, and he wasn't talking about being Darth Maul in – I didn't watch the whole thing. But he also talked about how he's pretty sure he ruined his voice doing all the screams and the shouts for Days Gone.
Sure.
He said, I'm pretty sure I did permanent damage to my voice with that. And you know, people were asking questions in the chat about, does he feel like he's a proper voiceover artist, or does he feel like he's an actor who does voiceover? And yeah, it was really interesting to watch a guy play a game, but also answer questions fans about not the game, about his profession. And he said he's done enough video game voices now, not all like motion capture, but video voices now, where he feels like he's part of the video game voice actor club. And and then he said something, and it sounded a bit like he was giving a clue for potentially there is another Days Gone happening, because he said, I can't say too much, but I'm going to be the main character in a game again soon. And I went, does that mean he's going to be a different character, or does that mean again, as in I'm playing the same character again in a sequel? So I'm throwing that out there as rumors, but
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. He's got a very deep voice when he speaks. It's very deep. But he went to Juilliard. That's where he studied acting. And I mentioned that because Juilliard School has something to do with something I watched, and we'll talk about that later on.
All right. I've got two more stories. As I said, no trailers this week. Free Guy 2 is go, which is great. But we have no opportunity to see Free Guy yet, so I'm not going to dwell on that. We'll move past it, and we'll move into the stuff that I talked about. So I suspected, and we've talked about this, there's probably going to be a few shifts. And we talked about how Clifford has already moved. Well, other ones are starting. Okay. Venom 2 has been pushed back only 3 weeks, but that's very, very, very hopeful.
Yeah.
Pushing back 3 weeks. Transylvania 4 has completely skipped the theaters.
Okay.
Sony announced this morning that they've basically sold it to Amazon Prime for $100 million.
Yeah, right.
And look, all these movements happening so far are Sony films. Mm. And the big takeaway from that is Sony is pretty much the only one that doesn't have their own streamer.
They don't have it.
So
yeah,
they don't have somewhere that they can punt their stuff over to and still have a crack. So I imagine that we will still see this happening. The reason why I bring this up is Spider-Man, No Way Home, the third Spider-Man movie coming later this year. That has to come out when it's supposed to, because it's part of the building blocks. And the other Marvel films, they can put on Disney Plus, or they can keep shifting and make sure that the tapestry all connects. But the word on the street is that this so heavily connects to Doctor Strange 2, WandaVision, all these other things that have happened in, you know, Loki, stuff that's happened in the TV shows this year, but also majorly pushing stuff for the films next year, that I don't know what Sony are going to do. Could they sell it to Marvel?
Yeah, could they sell it to Disney?
It's a big call.
Because if they go ahead and sell that to, for example, Amazon, right? Amazon Prime. That messes with a whole heap of fans.
But they couldn't do that anyway, because Disney has a 50% share in the film. Like, basically, Marvel makes the films. Sony pays for the films.
Okay.
And it's not in anyone's interest for them to sell it anywhere else.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, potentially $1 billion for Sony. What sort of price tag would they have to sell it to Marvel for them to put it out? I don't know. This is, stay tuned on this one, because that's still a long way off. It's early December, I believe. Okay. Either late November or early December is when that one's due, but that will roll around pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely. We're almost in September now, which is crazy. Look, I've got one that doesn't make the world feel terrible.
Oh, good.
December is also when the second season of The Witch is coming out on Netflix, right?
Mm.
And then I saw news today that they've released basically most of the cast for the prequel, The Witcher Blood Origin. And I saw a name on there. I was like, huh. And that is Lenny Henry. the comedian, the English comedian, used to be married to Dawn French. Anyway, he's going to be in this Witcher prequel. Live action, I think 6 episodes. It's a limited series, and it's going to be talking about, well, it's going to be set in the elven world. They said 1,200 years before the world of the Witcher that we see with Henry Cavill. So they'll be talking about the creation of the first prototype Witcher and the events that led up to the conjunction of the spheres and the worlds and monsters and men. And because in the Witcher, the series and also the game, the elves are kind of pushed away, like something's happened to them, and they were kind of like, from what I gather, I haven't read the books and I'll have to watch the prequel, but they were almost the dominant species on what their equivalent of Earth is. And then for them not to be, I think there's like multiverse stuff that goes on in there, and yeah, parallel universes. So for 6 episodes to clear all of that up, I say good luck to you, Netflix. Good luck.
Do you think we'll get another dope song?
Oh, maybe. And maybe it should be Lenny Henry that sings it. Is he going to be an elf? Whack a few pointy ears on and he will be, that's for sure. Have you got one more? You've got one more story, right?
No, I'm done with my new story.
All right.
But if you want to help me, we'll limp across the line with a fun fact.
Yes, please.
Okay, good. So this week's fun fact is from The Fugitive. Remember The Fugitive?
Yes.
Harrison Ford being chased down by Tommy Lee.
Yep.
Sorry, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes, if you could say the last name.
Not just Tommy Lee. That's a different movie, isn't it?
That's a really
Tommy Lee from Motley
Crue
chasing him down. Here's a fun fact. Harrison Ford damaged some ligaments in his leg during filming, especially during the filming of the scenes in the woods. And he refused to take surgery until the end of filming so that his character would keep the limp.
Now that is method acting.
The limp can be seen in any subsequent scene where Richard Kimball is running. So they filmed that. They must have filmed that pretty much chronologically.
Yeah.
To keep that limp in. So there you go. That's why he's limping.
That's interesting that they did do it chronologically. Were they going to beforehand, or was that all having to be rejigged
because of
the limp?
I've been
rewatching old movies from that sort of era, so maybe I'll put that on my list so I can just I'm watching for
let
the
me
limp.
Know
I'm watching for the limp. That was a great fun fact. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Should we talk about some watching?
I think we should.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. I have been watching a few things. We'll tag in the special guest in a minute.
Yes.
Let's talk our stuff first.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
We'll save the best for last.
That's right.
That's it. Look, my favourite thing I watched this week, shouldn't surprise anyone, was the beginning of What If, animated series on Disney Plus. Oh, boy, this is right up my alley. I love alternate universe comic book stories. I've been reading comics for a while, but one of the most important comic book storylines for me ever was an event called Age of Apocalypse. And in this storyline, Professor X's son time travels back to the 60s in order to try and kill Magneto before he made his father, before he paralyzed Professor X.
Right.
Right. Tries to intervene in this moment. And goes to kill Magneto, and Professor X steps in the way of the blast, meaning that Professor X dies, his son was never born, Magneto forms the X-Men, Apocalypse rises 10 years early, all of this crazy stuff, but it's all down to this one tiny detail that changes. And that sparked something in me that I've always loved alternate universe stories. So it is great that this show is kicking off and they're focusing on tiny little changes. So this first one is, what if Peggy Carter had stayed in the room when Steve Rogers was being injected with the Captain America formula?
Yep.
It's not what if she became that, or that it goes on to other stuff.
Yes.
But the kernel that kicks everything else off is what if she stayed in the room? And that is such a brilliant little change.
And what I liked about it was, as someone who hasn't read the comics and only know Marvel stuff from watching the movies and asking you questions and whatnot, they set that up so quickly so that I went, okay, yep, okay, I know exactly what's happening and what's different. Thank you very much. Yep. Now I can go on.
And they've done it so well because, you know, for what is it now, 13 years, everything has been connected in a timeline that adds to what came before. Mm-hmm. And this, as you say, it just resets that completely. As the guy at the beginning, you know, Uatu, the Watcher, says, I watch things, I notice differences and follow the change.
Yep.
It's such a, like, it's a weird big sci-fi concept. Mm. But it's so well distilled to that idea of what if this went different.
I liked the tone, and I mentioned this in the live stream on last week, that to me the pace and the comedy, I mean, it was very comic booky, but it reminded me of that 90s comic from Canada, cartoon from Canada of Tintin.
Sure.
It had that pace and it had that kind of comedy where you're like, yeah, we're going to laugh at this even though it's a bit lame. Your joke is lame, but we're going to laugh because we're having fun and this is fun.
I thought the sequence, so for anyone that hasn't seen the episode, Peggy Carter, who's Captain America's potential girlfriend, they were going to have a date, they were going to go on a dance when he was frozen, he gets shot and he's unable to be injected with the serum and the machine's about to blow up. So she dives into the machine and gets injected. And what follows from there is her becoming the star-spangled heroine, forced to be behind the scenes a lot of the time to begin with because the patriarchy and all sexism and all this sort of stuff.
She's a lady.
She brings all of that down. She does get her own sidekick in the form of Steve Rogers. Iron Man's father builds a prototype Iron Man suit called Hydra Stomper, and he puts the cosmic cube in that as a power device. It's just so well done. I don't know if you noticed, but Red Skull was back. Now, we last saw, so he's only had two appearances, well, three technically, I should say. But he was in the first Captain America film, played by Hugo Weaving.
Yep.
And then he was in Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, voiced by...
Ross. Aaron from The Walking Dead, yeah.
Yes, so he was back portraying him in this episode.
And he's a great voice actor.
Great voice actor, but it was amazing to see Red Skull get punked so hard by that tentacle monster. There's been a lot of speculation as to what that monster is. It could be just kind of like a Cthulhu style elder god being from another dimension.
Kraken.
But in the Marvel universe, there is exactly that type of creature called Shamugareth.
Uh-huh.
And Shamugareth is a very big Doctor Strange villain. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of rumors that we may see him as the main villain for this upcoming Doctor Strange movie. And
cool.
This may have been the first introduction to him of just tentacles coming through.
Watching it myself, I thought that was a villain that was obvious or I didn't realize there was so much like room for speculation, but I guess that's what they do in Marvel stuff.
They love doing this sort of little hints. And the other reason why things are, there's rumors going that we may see Hayley Atwell, who voices Captain Carter, mm-hmm. and who has played Peggy Carter in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors going that so in this episode, she went into that void.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, did you stay to the end of the credits?
I can't remember. Did I? No, I would have.
Well, did you see her wake up?
And yeah, yes.
So that is the events of the first Avengers movie. So it looks like we're seeing some, they've been very open, the fact that Captain Carter is going to be in season two of What If.
Awesome.
And she's going to be the continuing character. But yeah, there's rumors that she's going to appear in Doctor Strange 2 as well. And it will address that time when she was in the void fighting that monster.
Fun.
And it might be a 15-second cameo of like falling through alternate realities or something like that, and we see her with the shield and the sword in there battling a monster as he goes past, what, something like that. This could just be wild speculation, but it's so much fun to think about.
That's part of all of this, isn't it?
That's it. The next episode is going to be, I think the idea is simply, what if Yondu, who is the blue alien from Guardians of the Galaxy that took Chris Pratt as a boy and then raised him in space.
Played by
Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
Who's also in Suicide Squad. What if he arrived 12 hours early by mistake and picked up a young boy from Wakanda? So it's basically, what if Black Panther was Star-Lord instead?
Interesting.
I'm pretty down with that.
I enjoyed Stanley Tucci's character. It was just like you just wanted to punch him.
Oh, and they did such a great job of getting all these characters back. So Neil McDonough was back. Bradley Whitford, he was only in one of those like DVD short films that Marvel used to do when the first films were coming out. He was in the DVD short film of with Peggy Carter. Like, that's really pulling in a lot of cool strands.
Yeah, that's a reference for the long-term fans. Yeah,
I think it was funny what you were saying about voice actors versus actors earlier. And I say this in the nicest way possible, but Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky / Winter Soldier, is not a voice actor.
He was just there. Compare him to Ross? Oh, my gosh.
That's what I mean. And it was it's no knock on him. It's not his skill set. He's playing Tommy Lee soon. He can play really big, but he always plays visually very big.
Yeah.
There might be a few episodes where people who get subbed in. And it also, the guy doing Captain America, Steve Rogers,
yeah,
he was doing a pretty good, not quite Chris Evans.
Yeah, I thought so, because I knew it wasn't him. Because I knew that, well, I looked at the credits at the beginning, but also I remember you saying that he and Robert Downey Jr. were not part of What If.
Yeah, so there's a couple of people who aren't, but it gives you a good idea of how they could go down recasting lines.
Yeah, totally.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I can't wait. We've got, I can't remember if there's 8 or 10 episodes, but.
Well, why don't you think it's 8 so that if it does end with 8, you'll be fine. But then if it's 10, you get the bonus too. I'll keep watching it. And it's not a daunting thing to watch these Disney shows, because they just release one once a week. You just sit down and watch that. You don't have to binge the whole thing to be a part of any conversation, which is...
Yeah, it's like a 23-minute animated thing.
That's all it is. It's
easy. And from what I understand, and I'm giving this news specifically to Viv in the UK, I hope you enjoy this news, there is a Party Thor episode coming up with him in a frat house. I believe Loki is the one who is worthy.
Great.
I don't know anything more than that, but it sounds like they're going to have Chris Hemsworth basically playing Belushi in Animal House.
And I can see that based on the way he was when he was playing, was it Fortnite, I think, in the movie?
Yep.
They're busy playing Fortnite. I can totally see that. It's going to work really, really well. I watched, it was straight after that, actually. I watched What If. I was doing Jigsaw Puzzle. I watched What If, and then I switched over to Amazon Prime and watched that Val Kilmer doco, because a lot of people were talking about it. I thought, oh, he's one of those actors that I know but don't know a lot about. I know he had, I think it was throat cancer or something, so he can't really talk anymore. So I thought, all right, watch this. He ever since, has been an avid home video recorder. Like, he always had a camcorder. He always was filming behind the scenes during films and just his life in general. And he's just got like this treasure trove now of footage from movies like Top Gun and The Doors, like anything, Batman. And there were some really interesting insights. And you know how I said I was watching Sam Witwer's Twitch stream the other day, and somebody, you know, they were talking, he was talking about how he went to Juilliard, the acting school, and someone said, oh, did you know Val? And he said, no, Val was there before me. And then he paused and he said something really funny. He said, one of my lecturers said that yes, Val did go to this school, and he was a kid that came from a rich family. And he said, and that's all, that's all the information that he gave us, but we understood what he was getting at. I was like, okay. What I really liked was when he was talking about, you know, going to Juilliard and stuff, there was footage of him taking his son there, who is now an actor, and his son was going in for a tour, obviously wants to be a part of it. But it was voiced by, there was a voiceover narrator, and that was his son. And his son was voicing it as if he was Val. It was really cool. There was an interesting part about Batman. And I'm sure if you're a big Batman movie fan, you would know this, but I didn't know this. But he felt really isolated doing Batman, the film, because he was so excited. He loved Batman growing up and everything. And he was really excited. And then he got there and it was mainly the suit because he could barely move. Mm-hmm. Once he had that helmet thing on, he couldn't hear anyone. He couldn't move his head. You know, so he was trying to do these scenes with Nicole Kidman, who was the love interest. And he's like, I couldn't give her anything because I couldn't move. I couldn't hear what she was saying. I was just standing there guessing. And he said in the end he was just trying to play the role like a soapy, like a Days of Our Lives kind of thing, because he couldn't give anything else but just the lines. And he said compared to seeing Jim Carrey there, just Jim Carrey-like, being able to move around, you know, because he only had like that leotard kind of costume. And he said, and here I was, and I just, as the filming went on and on and on, he said that he just felt isolated from everything and everyone because he couldn't get involved because he couldn't hear. I'm like, oh, and he said it was just so disappointing because he'd always wanted to play Batman. He always wanted to be the superhero, you know, from a comic books, and it just wasn't, it didn't live up to what he wanted. And that's why he didn't go back for another Batman because he just didn't enjoy the experience. It was a nice doco. It was one of those docos that I don't know about you, but with documentaries I go, I'll give it half an hour, and if I don't like it, I'll just bounce out.
I'm gonna ask, and I'm gonna ask this as nicely as I can, because you does he portray himself as an asshole at any point? Because I've read a lot of reviews of the film, and I haven't watched it and stuff like that. But like, he is notorious as one of the biggest assholes who's ever been in Hollywood.
He doesn't, because I've heard those as well. He doesn't, but watching it, I was like, I'm enjoying this. I didn't know anything about him apart from, you know, the films and whatnot. But I also know that I don't think I want to be his friend. He's not my kind of person. But no, he portrays himself as a nice guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. It sounds like a fascinating project. I probably would have watched it this week if I wasn't busy doing other things.
What were you doing?
Playing some PS5.
Okay, what games have you gotten into?
I've grabbed a couple of games, but I'm rationing them out. We're in lockdown, so I'm going to go through them. Shay and I have been playing Sackboy for half an hour to an hour each night, and she's loving that. Dawn French is the narrator.
Oh, nice.
Richard E. Grant is the villain.
Perfect.
So, awesome, loving that. And then when everyone goes to bed, I've been playing Spider-Man, and I have restarted. I got the Miles Morales version with the remastered version of the original.
Oh, cool. So pretty much two games in one.
Yes, and I have gone back and started the original at the beginning so I can get all my power-ups and make sure I'm at the right level and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
That. So that's been distracting me from a bit of watching, but I have still found the time to watch the stuff I'm excited for, like one show that came back this week. I was very excited because Brooklyn Nine-Nine has come back for their eighth and final season. They didn't know it was their final season last time. It was their final season, but now they know.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, they took a long time to come back. They basically took last year out, and Terry Crews said at one point after everything that was happening with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, they went and tossed the first four episode scripts in the bin and started over. And it shows in the writing. The first episode, I won't spoil it, but had a moment that absolutely floored me emotionally. Like, oh,
yeah,
wow.
Really?
Yeah, keep in mind that the Andre Brogner, Captain Holt, is a black police captain.
Yep.
That's not an easy gig. And it was great. Rosa is not a cop anymore. She's quit the force over it and become a private investigator. There's been some big shakeups. I won't spoil any of the other ones because they're all pretty good. Jake and Amy have the baby now.
Perfect.
She was pregnant last time we saw her. And there's some very clever, okay, they're clearly dealing with COVID stuff. So Hitchcock and Scully, the two old guys.
Yeah.
Scully's retired, but he now just lives in the iPad because he doesn't want to not hang out with Hitchcock all day.
That's very good.
So he's on Zoom with him at all times. And there's just shots in the background of, you know, one of them's working and the other one's on the iPad with no shirt on, eating dripping sauce on himself and stuff. Very,
Oh, that's magical.
It was great to have the show back. I can't remember how many episodes. I don't think it's a full 16. I'm not sure. But, it was back with a double episode to start.
And it'd be nice that they did know that it's their final because they'll wrap things up, which is what you want with a beloved show. So that's really good.
We're going to get some good guest stars. But I will say the guest villain for this series, because they like to have an overarching, normally police captain or something, you know, competitor, was the fire department at one point. It is the police lawyer who represents police in police brutality cases, played by John C. McGinley.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, but he's playing one slimy lawyer. Oh, you won't like him at all. It's great.
But he'd excel at that.
It's just, I can't believe that you would come at our American heroes, our boys in blue, like this. So I look forward to seeing plenty more of him this season. We will get Jason Mantzoukas at one point for sure.
Good.
We'll get Craig Robinson. All the big name guest stars that you want to pop up and send off their character properly.
Yeah, for sure.
They'll be there.
Oh, that's good.
Still hung up on who shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I've been watching a show that I have not seen for a very long time. I've just jumped in, just wanted something fun to watch whilst having dinners, and we're watching Gordon Ramsay's Hell Kitchen.
Ooh.
I've not watched this show for years. I think I probably watched maybe the first or second season. Like, there's been, I want to say 16 or 18, like so many. And it's so ridiculous. You can see them. They're gearing up to cook, you know, for the restaurant, the casting of extras. And you could just see Gordon Ramsay going, right, I've got to get angry at something. Who am I going to pick? I get angry at this. And it must be in his contract that he's got to throw food on the counter at some point during every single service. And then I just love when he kicks one of the teams out. He's, get out of here. You know, there's obviously lots of swearing as well. But he acts so annoyed all the time, even when he's just having a chat with them. He might be like, okay, now we're going to do this really fun thing. And then he'd be like, oh, why? And I mean, I know he gets paid for that character that he, you know, is obviously based on him in a kitchen, but it's just so funny to watch him act like that when you've seen that cooking show at home with his family.
Yeah, and like if you follow him on social media, where he's actually a very funny, seemingly kind of down to earth guy.
Exactly. It's just pure entertainment, and I just love the way Americans get behind stuff. So the chefs on there are just so American about everything, and there's this one guy, who is Irish, and he's an executive chef, and I think he's been in America for maybe 4 years. And the stuff that he will not put up with is the really American stuff. And as Australians, you're like, I completely understand why you're rolling your eyes so much to the point that they're almost dislodged from your eye, your eye sockets. But yeah, there was this one. There was one guy, one chef at the beginning, who got through like the first round, just the first round. And he goes up to Gordon. He goes, "I'm your guy. I'll be here till the end. I'm your guy." I can just imagine eye rolling.
Yeah,
you need funny stuff like that at this point in time. You just need to watch something that doesn't really matter, and you can make fun of the whole way through. It's fun.
Can I throw something in? Yes. This is not a full watching recommendation, but something that was fun that you might enjoy. I know I talk about DC's Legends of Tomorrow a lot, but the last two episodes have been bonkers. So last week's episode, half the team got sucked into space and suddenly appeared in a bowling alley that was floating through space.
Yeah, right.
And there were a few aliens who had watched Kingpin. Do you remember Kingpin?
Mm-hmm.
With Bill Murray and Woody Harrelson?
Yep.
They'd seen a transmission of that in space, and so they turned their spaceship into a floating bowling alley, and they went through space converting planets into bowling balls and choosing a few representatives of that planet to play. And if they beat them, then the planet gets turned into a bowling ball and put in the case. So the legends had to beat these aliens at bowling to save Earth. That was last week's episode. And then this week's episode, they just wanted to have some quiet time because that was too much.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
And they were stuck on the ship and couldn't use much power. So they played a board game. Yeah. And the best description of this episode I heard was that it was called Clue Mungie, because it's basically them playing Clue and they get sucked into the world of Jumanji.
Brilliant. What a nightmare.
And you would love this because it's just peppered with great board game references throughout. It's very you.
So this was the latest episode or last week's? I'm going to find it.
This was the latest episode. The episode, I believe, was called Board on Board on Board.
Okay. Oh, that's a good name. Okay. I'm going to
B-O-R-E-D.
Yes.
On Board on Board.
Well, that's a bit confusing.
They're very good.
Now, we've got a special guest. Do you want to introduce her?
Oh, yeah. Well, all right, we've got a very special guest just for this segment now. Obviously, everyone's at home a lot, so we're throwing it a little bit wider to get more recommendations. And our special guest is someone who's been on in the past, hasn't been on in a while. Please welcome Shay.
Hey.
Hi, Shay. So I wanted to get you on because, a big part is in the past we've talked a lot about Descendants. We know that you love the Descendants movies.
Yes.
And what happened the other day?
So there's two new Descendants things. There's a baking show and there's the animated movie.
And what's this baking show?
It's all about like three teams of two.
Yes.
And they like go against each other to make the best cake. And it's all, and each episode's based around a different like movie or something, like different Disney stuff.
Yeah. So the first episode, what's it themed around?
Descendants.
Oh, okay. And what do they have to make?
They had to make a real wedding cake.
Oh, that sounds difficult.
Yeah.
Like how high was it? How many different cakes had to go into the wedding cake?
They all had three levels.
Jeez.
And in the middle they all had to have like shape.
Do you remember what the winner, what shape the winner did?
We didn't get to watch it all because I had the voice.
Oh no, you had too much to watch. Well, you can catch it later. Also, yeah. Maybe it's a good idea not to spoil the ending of the episode. So yeah.
So it's the first of a series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, and the show is called Disney Magic Bake Off.
Yes.
And Leah, it looks like nailed it, but it has the vibe more of Bake Off because it's very positive.
And it's all like kids baking.
So how old are the kids, do you reckon?
Like
sort of
like for this first episode, the youngest was a fifth grader.
Okay.
The oldest was an eighth grader.
Yeah, okay. So kids who are old enough to be able to go in the kitchen and kind of do their own thing because they're a little bit more aware of the dangers and how to be safe and stuff.
Leah, I think these kids already have an interest in baking.
Yeah, okay.
They seem to have pretty good skills.
Yeah, right.
Because some of the kids made a crown on the top of the cake out of modelling chocolate.
I wouldn't even know how to do that. Modelling chocolate, is it kind of like clay?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
right.
But it's chocolate and you can eat it.
And I guess like when you're modelling it, you have to be really careful not to continuously lick your fingers, especially if you're making it for someone else.
Yeah.
That'd be difficult.
And the hosts are actual Disney stars.
Oh, right. Who hosts it?
So there's Isaac, who was in Raven's Home.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then there's another person called Dara. I'm pretty sure she was in High School Musical, the series. It's takes ages to name.
That's the longest name I've ever heard. You must get to the point where you're like, I don't know how many times I've said musical.
Yeah, they just shorten it to all the first letters of it and put that there.
Oh, that's so good. Now, you said you've been watching something else.
Yes, it's called Descendants Royal Wedding, and it's animated.
Yeah, we haven't watched it yet.
Ah, okay. Have you heard anything about it? Like, have they given any info? Like, do you know what to expect?
No, but I did see some, like, music videos on YouTube, so expecting lots of music.
Lots of great songs, songs that you'll be able to listen to over and over again and start to
get in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Learn all the words so that you can sing it in karaoke or whatever takes
sing
your
it to your friends.
Yeah, exactly. And if they don't sing it back to you, you're like, you haven't listened to it enough.
Yeah.
are there any other shows that you've got your eye on that you want to watch coming up soon?
Oh, yeah, there is a movie that's coming out soon on Netflix that I'm really excited for. It's the Loud House movie. Because the Loud House is a cartoon show, because I can't actually watch it. I just watch parts of it on YouTube.
Yep.
And now they're releasing a movie on Netflix on the 20th.
Oh, geez, that's
really
soon.
Really, really soon.
Yeah, so you'll be trying to watch that over the weekend?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Gosh, you've got a lot of stuff you're going to have to review for next week.
Yes.
Now, Tom, I believe Shay has got a very busy day today and we can't keep her for ages. Is that right?
That's right. She's got to get back to homeschooling now. You've got French up next, correct?
Yeah, and that's in like 1 minute.
Whoa.
Well, you'd better get a move on. Oui, oui.
Bye-bye.
Bonsoir.
Bye-bye.
Tom, I think it's time to get into the quiz. What do you reckon?
I reckon so. We've watched some good stuff. We've had a chat with a good egg, and now it's time to scramble my brains.
This is called Whose Oscar Speech Is This? I'm not just going to read you an Oscar speech and then go, who is it? It's either or. So you got 50% chance of
okay,
getting it right. So is this Joaquin Phoenix or Rami Malek? I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world. And many of us, by the way, you can jump in whenever you feel comfortable.
Is this Rami Malek?
It's not. I need to go into more of it.
Okay.
This is Joaquin, and you'll realize why soon. What we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview, a belief that we're the center of the universe, and we all go into the natural world and we plunder it for resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow. Remember that? Yeah, that was Joaquin Phoenix. I think Rami was just more like upbeat and just celebrating. Joaquin did not do that. All right, number five, Octavia Spencer or Halle Berry. Oh my God, oh my God, I'm sorry. This moment is so much bigger than me. This moment is for Dorothy Dainridge, Lena Horne.
Can you be crying? Okay, okay. While you
all right, hang on. Halle was crying. Angela Bassett and Vivica Fox. Yeah.
Granny Halle Berry.
Did she? She must have ruined her makeup. Like, she must would have had to have had retouching in the back, like backstage.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot.
But they'd have someone out there ready to do that anyway.
True. That's someone's job. Not a bad job.
I'm telling
job.
You, Warren Beatty, he doesn't walk out on stage without.
No.
Such up.
No, definitely not. I don't have his acceptance speech because it wasn't. I don't know. Did he win an Oscar? Don't know. Sandra Bullock or Julia Roberts? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you ever so much. I'm so happy. Thank you. I have a television, so I'm going to spend some time here to tell you some things. And sir, speaking to the conductor, you're doing a great job, but you're so quick with that stick. So why don't you sit down? Because I may never get here again.
Sandy.
It is Julia. For Erin Brockovich, it sounds so much like a Sandra.
Sure, it does. It sounds like peak Miss Congeniality. I'm confident at the moment.
I'm
Sandy.
Very, very confident. All right. Well, we'll see.
Julia, well done.
See what you think about this one. Sally Field or Sandra Bullock? Ol Benton, what did you do for me? You changed my life. Truly, this means so much more to me this time. I don't know why. So I guess that indicates it either nominated or
second winner.
Twice. Yeah. I think the first time I hardly felt it because it was all so new. I mean, taken out of context, this sounds so completely, it could be anything.
Is it Sally Field?
It's Sally Field.
Will you tip me when you said the first time happened young?
Yeah, of course, because Sandra Bullock won for The Blind Side, and I think that was the only time. I don't know if she was nominated before that. But that was Sally Field for 1985's Places in the Heart, which you and I watch weekly.
All the time. That's on our spin-off podcast.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Sally Field Places in the Heart podcast. All right, Jared Leto or Matthew McConaughey. To all the dreamers out there around the world watching this tonight, in places like the Ukraine and Venezuela, I want to say to you, we are here. And as you struggle to make your dreams happen, live the impossible, we're thinking of you tonight.
Oh, my God. That made the names fall out of my head of who it could be.
Jared Leto or Matthew McConaughey.
That's got to be Leto, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Remember
then,
they...
Then, they won the same night, right? He flung a feces-filled condom at the audience. This guy is the worst.
Buyers Club. All right, final one. Cuba Gooding Jr. or Ben Affleck?
Oh.
I know how I have a little bit of time, so I'm going to rush and say everybody, and you cut away, I won't be mad at you. Tom said, don't forget to thank my wife. I will never forget you, my high school sweetheart and the mother of my children, Spencer and Mason. This is clearly, I've just realized this
is clear. I know. It's Cuba, but I loved that speech because it was so pure and not expected.
not expected at all. But I remember everybody in the crowd kind of just got up and they were like, oh, he's setting the tone for celebrations tonight.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, every now and then there's a complete upset win and even the person who won is like, what?
Yeah. Didn't
That was peak.
Marissa Tomei won.
Mm-hmm. And people were not happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so those I was just like, you know what? I was putting washing out this morning and I thought, I wonder if you can figure out whose speech it is based off an Oscar transcript. And I went, surely they've got transcripts, and they do. They're everywhere. If you want to spend all of your life reading them, you can. I suggest probably not, because six was more than enough.
But up to you. Yeah, your choice.
You may have spare time up your hands at the moment. Give it a go. All right. So this week, tomorrow, we will have a live stream on Facebook for the lunchtime quiz. So that will be 12:30. But next week, which is the 27th, Friday the 27th, it will be the Watchers quiz after dark, 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Be there or you'll miss out.
Yeah, exactly. That's you're just going to miss out.
I'm going to have a drink and be dressed fancy.
I think fancy is a great idea. We should definitely do that. Make ourselves not wear tracksuit pants, I think, is probably a big thing.
Simmer down. I want to be fancy up top.
No one will know, will they? Yeah.
No, and I live in tracksuit pants.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do too as well now. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Alan!